Quite as to read in the scriptures. I brought my own Bible today, by the way. Don't look at me suspiciously when I'm going to read it. I must say it's nice being with you again today. We read in the Gospel by Mark in chapter 6, and we'll read there from verse 30 to verse 44. The well-known story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 people. The apostles gathered round Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in the groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. Amen. Now I would direct our attention back to the reading in Mark's Gospel that we had, Mark chapter 6, and looking at the passage from verse 30 to verse 44, dealing with the feeding of the 5,000. Many years ago now, we were on a tour of Israel. We spent 1 week in Jerusalem and a second week in Tiberias, on the Sea of, beside the Sea of Galilee. And it was Easter time. We left Jerusalem on the Saturday, the day after Good Friday, and on Easter Sunday morning we had a communion service in the open air on a slope up from the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Easter and the Passover, the Jewish Passover, coincided that year as it did this year. And on that Sunday morning by the Sea of Galilee, celebrating the Lord's Supper, it was a memorable experience, one that I will never forget. But much further back from that time, there was another gathering by the shore of Galilee. About the same time of year, it was near Passover time, the Bible tells us. And there was a meal. It was the feeding of the 5,000. And I'm quite sure that anyone who had been at that event would have remembered it for the rest of their days as well. This incident of the feeding of the 5,000 is recorded for us in all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, so that it was very obviously a very significant event in the story of Jesus' days on earth. The focus of all the Gospels when they are telling about this incident was not on the great crowd of people. Very little is said about the reaction of the people. The focus is entirely on Jesus himself. In fact, in the Gospel by John, when the Apostle John is telling about this incident, he says that this miraculous sign, and John doesn't use the word miracles as the others do, he uses the word sign instead, as I'm sure you've sometimes heard. And he says that this great sign convinced many people that Jesus was the one who was to come from God. In other words, that Jesus was the Messiah, the God-man who came from heaven to meet the needs of people on earth. The time of the incident was a bit difficult for the disciples of Jesus. Before this, they had been sent out by Jesus to preach and to teach and to tell the people to repent and turn to the Lord, for the kingdom of God had come. And it's obvious that they had a whale of a time when they went out preaching the word. If you look at verse 12 and verse 13 of this same chapter, Mark chapter 6, it tells us that they went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. They were excited about what they had done in the name and by the power of the Lord Jesus. And they were on a high when they came back and told Jesus all about what had happened. And so it was that Jesus took them away for a time of quiet reflection and to give them a rest. And what did they find? They found 5,000 people running along the shore of Galilee, wanting to hear Jesus, wanting to see if Jesus would work more miracles. And it's with some feeling, I think, that after hours of teaching by Jesus, the disciples came to him and said, "Send the people away, for it's late, so that they can buy some food." And perhaps what they were really saying was, "Send the people away full stop, that we can get some rest." But when we look at the story, that's not how it developed. Jesus presents us here with a picture that is quite different, perhaps, from that which the disciples would have wanted. And I want to notice a few things about that that I think will help us not only to see what happened there, but also to make us think what can happen now. There are 4 points I want to make, and I've made them all begin with the letter C, so perhaps that will help us to remember them a bit more. The first is the compassion of Jesus. And the second one is the challenge of Jesus. And the third one is the contentment of the people. And the fourth one, which arises, as it were, by extension from the incident, is the continuing ministry of Jesus. But looking first of all then at the compassion of Jesus. When you look here at verse number 34, when Jesus landed, remember he and the disciples went by boat. It would have been a small boat, it wouldn't have gone very quickly, and the crowd running along the shore got to a suitable place before Jesus and the disciples arrived. At verse 34, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. Verse 34 is really quite a remarkable verse. The sight of this large crowd hurrying along beside the Sea of Galilee moved Jesus deeply. They were coming, they were rushing to hear what he would have to say to them. And he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. Remember, Jesus called himself the good shepherd, the genuine shepherd. And here, as he sees this large crowd of people with that shepherd heart that is so beautifully descriptive of Christ, he cared for them. He had compassion on them because he saw the need of these people. Some of them, no doubt, were just thrill seekers hoping to see a miracle. But he knew the kind of lives that they had, maybe empty lives. And he was moved with compassion. Now that word compassion is a word that's used very sparingly in the New Testament, and its Old Testament equivalent is used sparingly as well. It's an important word, and in the Gospels it's always used with reference to Jesus himself. Jesus had compassion. And Jesus also used the word in two of his parables. The parable of the prodigal son. When the father saw his returning son, he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him, because he had compassion on him. and in the parable of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan didn't pass the man who had been mugged and left for dead by the roadside. He picked him up, tended to his wounds, put him on his own donkey, took him to a safe place. Why? Because he had compassion on him. We read of Jesus himself when he came across a leper by the roadside, a man full of leprosy. Jesus leaned over, we read, and touched him, something that no other person would have done. People recoiled from lepers. But Jesus touched him, and he healed him, because he had compassion upon him. It's a word that is much more than feeling sorry. It's a word that compels someone to do something to help. And Jesus had compassion. We read of two blind men, as Matthew describes it in chapter 20 and verse 34, who were shouting after Jesus, and Jesus stopped and he gave them their sight because he had compassion upon them. And when with his disciples one day he was passing the little village of Nain, he came across a funeral procession. A widow was on the way to bury her only son, who had been the means of maintaining her with some dignity. And Jesus restored him to life because he had compassion on them. So it's a significant word, and it's a significant word when applied to Jesus. And Jesus here, seeing this multitude of people, had compassion upon them. He deeply, deeply cares for the spiritual hunger that he sees in mankind. People who are broken by sorrow upon sorrow, he sees their deepest need. And I'll say a little more about that at the end. But that's the picture we have here of Jesus looking out from this crowd of people. And that is why for several hours that evening he taught them many things, because he had compassion upon them. The second point I want to pick up on is the challenge of Jesus. The disciples came to him after a long time and said to him, "Jesus, it is late. Send the people away so that they can get food." And now look what Jesus said to them in verse 37. Jesus answered, "You give them something to eat." Now when Jesus said that, he wasn't being frivolous, looking out on this vast crowd of people and saying to them, "You feed them." He was challenging the apostles, because look what they had been doing as they described it to Jesus. We read here in verse 12 and verse 13. They went out, they preached that people should repent, and then they drove out demons, they anointed many sick with oil, and healed them. They had been working miracles in the name and by the power of Jesus. And now Jesus was, as it were, saying to them, "Well, You're telling me what you did in my name when you went out to preach. Now here is another challenge. Meet the need of these people before you. Now, and you can imagine the disciples thinking, well, healing somebody is one thing. Feeding 5,000 people is way, way out of our league, as it were. And so they said to Jesus, it's impossible for us. So then Jesus, as it were, took over himself when they weren't able to meet that challenge. I'm sure Christ would have been disappointed with them. But how would you have felt? How would I have felt if looking out on that vast crowd, if just looking out on this congregation, Jesus said, you feed them. It's a challenge that was too much. But you know, friends, the point is this, that there are times when the Lord challenges us to do something for him. He may not ask us to feed the 5,000, but he might ask us to speak to our neighbor a gospel word. He may ask us to invite a lonely person into our home for a meal, or to bring someone on the fringe of the congregation into the body of the kirk, as it were. The challenge is a challenge to our faith in the Lord Jesus who had compassion on the lost and who asks us to join him in doing something about it. And then we move from that challenge for the people Jesus took over, and with the meager supply that the disciples came to him with, and he multiplied them miraculously. After he gave thanks and broke the bread, there's so much symbolism in the whole of this, and then he distributed to the people. And the third point I want to make is just this, that with the supply that he gave them, the people were content. We read that the disciples were directed by Jesus to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass, and the way they were organized was a way that was well known at that time and in that and various other parts of the world, a way that the Roman soldiers would organize people in groups of 50 or whatever, and it was the way that crowds were organized in order to see that distribution was made fairly and so on. And they all ate, we read in verse 42 here, they all ate and were satisfied. I think that says so much about what Jesus gives us all. They all ate and were satisfied. It has a deep spiritual application as well. I'm sure that if you have a computer or an iPad or something and they're connected with Amazon or something similar, you will receive endless notices about beautiful food that is available at special prices for you here and there, and the pictures offering these delicious dishes And TV programs are full of people making food that looks so special and so on. It's a kind of parable of what the wider world seems to offer. And it's made to look attractive, tasty and good. But we know that no matter how attractive, tasty and good it may be, it's all temporary at best. We eat, but we get hungry again. We're always wanting more. But what Jesus brings to us is true satisfaction, true contentment. The Apostle Paul says that godliness with contentment is great gain. And it's only Christ, who can bring that kind of contentment into our hearts and give us a truly contented life. Part of the meaning of this word, satisfaction, that is used here, means what is necessary. And I think that's very significant, because a life without Christ is a life without what is necessary. We may have everything else, as much as we could ever want of things and goods and whatnot, but if we don't have Jesus, we don't have what is necessary. And when we don't have that, we will never, ever be content. The old gospel hymn was quite right when it said, "We are feeding on the living bread, eating of the feast the Lord has spread. And whoso eateth," Jesus said, "shall never hunger, nevermore." It's only Christ who satisfies and brings contentment to our lives. And then that last thing, the continuing ministry of Jesus. The feeding of the 5,000 was soon over and done with. And we look back on it as an event in the history of the life of Jesus. It's a story in history. And I think that we are sometimes inclined to think of the ministry of Jesus in that way. He lived, he died, he rose again, he ascended to heaven, and that's that. But that's not what the Bible wants us to realize. It's not over and done with at all. Jesus is with us still. And Jesus is active among us still. And when we read that Jesus looked on these people with compassion, I want us to remember that Jesus is still full of compassion today and actively compassionate about the world in which we're living. He's alive and doing things. It was a wonderful insight when somebody said regarding the physically resurrected Jesus, when he ascended to heaven, the angel said, this same Jesus, the Jesus that the apostles had touched and ate with and spoke to, who had risen from the dead, this same Jesus will come again. But where he is now, the dust of the earth is on the throne of heaven. And he knows us. He cares for us. He loves us. He's compassionate towards us. Remember I mentioned that Jesus used this word compassionate with regard to the Father in that lovely parable of what we call the parable of the prodigal son. And how he looked and was looking every day for his son to return. And when he saw him, he threw dignity to the winds and ran, fell on his neck and kissed him, welcoming him home because he had compassion on him. And Christ is still like that. He cares for lost souls and is longing for their return because he has compassion on them. And friends, if you don't have Jesus today, remember, he cares for you and he wants you to come to him. But friends, if you are Christians today, you are the people through whom Christ works in the world. And he wants us to show his compassion to people around us, to people whom we perhaps know who are without Christ. And if we care for Jesus, Jesus who cared for us, he wants us to care for them with compassion. It's wonderful to know that the Christ whom we worship and serve is the living Christ, the active Christ. He's got a continuing ministry in the world and he exercises through his people. He doesn't need us, but he wants to use us. He cares for others like us and expects us to care for them like he does. So, without Jesus, we'll never know real contentment. But with Jesus, we should not only know contentment, but compassion, because he continues to be compassionate towards us. Amen. Let us pray together. Eternal God, the God and Father of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, we bless you for the gospel of your grace. We bless you above all for the Saviour. And we thank you that his compassion is the same today as it ever was, for you are the changeless God. And we pray, Lord, that as Jesus reaches out with compassion still to touch, to heal, to bless, to restore, that he would be working among us, and also that he would work through us to be a blessing to the world. Take from us all our sin and our shortcomings, and grant us, Lord, hearts that are full of grace and of love towards Christ, and full of compassion towards the world. that you have so loved and gave your Son to redeem. Bless us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.